welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in the last segment of this series, Afflictions in the Life of a Christian, God's Ultimate Purpose in Trials. And we learned yesterday that afflictions, troubles that we go through, are very helpful and beneficial in teaching us the will of God, especially if we've gone astray. And then also, as we brought the broadcast to a close, we were looking at a second area where afflictions are used of the Lord in trying our faith and obedience. And the very classic example we have in the Word of God, the father of the faithful, Abraham, for Jew and Gentile, he was called upon by God after waiting so many years for the promised heir. The Lord asked him to sacrifice that son. And when he was just, he had the knife raised, ready to fulfill the Lord's command, the angel of the Lord called to him and said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear and revere God, since you have not held back from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son." Now, obviously, the Lord knew in advance that Abraham was willing to do it, and he knew, of course, God knows all things, past, present, future. He knew how Abraham would respond, but Abraham didn't know it. And that's true of us. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Many times we have no idea what God's purposes are. We don't understand. I mean, surely, can you imagine the natural confusion that could have been in Abraham's mind? Here he had, and Sarah had waited all these years for a promised son, and now God was saying, "I want you to sacrifice him." And so, beloved, let there be nothing in our lives that we cherish or hold on to or love more dearly than the Lord our God. Surely Abraham loved that child, that boy, and he was somewhat grown at that point in time. And so let's go on. I have some more scriptures to share with you on this subject that God really wants to see how we are going to respond. Because, you know, ultimately, when we all stand before the Lord, we're going to be judged by what we have done, by our works. And I'm speaking now, obviously, those who have accepted Jesus and had opportunity to do so, they've already sealed their fate if they're unwilling to repent and acknowledge that He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. But even for those of us who do know and love God, our works have to be gold and silver. We don't want them to be wood, hay, and stubble, which will be burned up. That won't affect our salvation. We will be saved. But we actually had opportunities to bring glory to God, and we chose not to do it. So let me share a couple more scriptures. Well, actually, in this series, I'm sharing a lot of scriptures, so it's not just me making a comment or giving my opinion. It is what the Word of God has to say. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, and this is the Lord speaking, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." Remember now, this was the second generation. That first generation died out because they didn't want to go into the promised land. They were fearful. They listened to the report of the spies. Remember the 10 spies, and it was only Joshua and Caleb who gave a good report. And so God said, okay, and they're, as the word says, their carcasses fell in the wilderness, they died. And this was their children that were going on. And so, and of course, the children were growing up. And so they were able at that point in time, obviously, since they were going into the promised land, at least the men were grown and they were able to do warfare. All right, Revelation 2 and 10. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking to the church at Smyrna. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, at that point in time, there could very well have been those who literally were martyrs for God. They laid down their lives to natural death. But also, beloved, we are called to the very same thing. We need to be faithful unto death, not only our natural death, should Jesus tarry, but faithful unto the death of self, to surrender our carnal, fleshly ways and to walk in a way that is pleasing to God, where we will not willingly ever disobey the Lord or continue on in sin. Randomly. Sometimes, you know, when people backslide, they do that. But God, in His mercy and love, just like the prodigal son, remember, he came to himself and he realized he was better off when he was serving his father. And that's true in our case. We're much better off when we're serving our heavenly Father. He will give us a crown of life, beloved. Praise God. That's not only true in the hereafter, it's true here. He wants us to have life and that life more abundantly. And I don't believe anyone has fully entered into the extremity of what that abundant life is. I believe God has ways, you know, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I've always thought of that as being, you know, obviously when we're with Jesus, and that's certainly true. But even in this life, God's He's an adventurous God. You never know what you're going to get into with Him. But He loves us. He won't give us more than we can bear. That is a wonderful, comforting scripture, beloved. He knows our frame. Each one of us are different. We're all in different places in the Lord. Years of service to Him, our understanding, our maturity, all that factors in. But He tailor makes everything, even the tests He allows, so that we can be ever more perfect. And so we can certainly pray for faith. I don't know about you, but that's certainly something we can pray for. The father of the son possessed by a dumb spirit, as recorded in Mark the 9th chapter, verse 24, he cried out, Lord, I believe. And this poor child was a spirit had just possessed him, and he would just hurt himself unmercifully. And the father was at his wit's end. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And of course, God bears a little bit with our unbelief. So as we step out and we say, Lord, I'm believing you, our assurance, our confidence in God grows. And not only that, sometimes the enemy just comes against us with fear. Some of you sometimes feel that way right now. You know that you, it's you who has failed, not the Lord. And beloved, just take comfort in the fact, as I've said various times on the broadcast, that you have the faith enough right now for what you're dealing with. If some might bemoan and say, oh, I just don't have the faith, I'm weak in faith, God is not going to give you more than you can handle. You have the faith right now for whatever you are facing. to be victorious. In fact, I want to stop right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over the lies of the enemy, of the evil one, that would discourage your beloved, that would make them feel that they are inadequate. They just don't have it to take. They don't have what it takes to measure up. Lord, that's a lie. You've already taken into consideration our weaknesses. You said in your word, Lord, as you spoke to the disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, you know the weakness of our flesh. So Father, we thank you now that you are going to demolish those lies. We are submitted to you. That's our heart's desire. And we resist the work of the enemy and Satan. It is written, you will flee from before us. Take your lies and go. Stop from tormenting these people, in the saints of God, in their minds, in their thoughts. And Father, I thank you for the peace of God right now, which is going to descend on those who prayed that with me, that are receiving your peace and your love. It's going to be all right, beloved. God promises that it will be all right. Weeping may endure for a season, but what's the rest of that verse? But joy cometh in the morning. So all of our trials, all of our afflictions are temporary. Praise God. And you might say, well, Sister Glass, what about so-and-so? We were praying and he passed away in our church, and we were praying for his healing and his recovery. Ultimately, they received the ultimate healing, the greatest healing, to be with the Lord. We may not understand the ways of God in this life. Sometimes he does share with us, but if not, we are still going to trust him. Don't be condemned that you didn't pray effectively, that you didn't do enough, because I believe, I've heard some preachers say, I'm not going to let the devil have, they lost a child, I'm not going to let the devil take my child. I actually heard a preacher years ago say that. However, I don't believe Satan has the power to take life, not unless God should allow him to, in terms of the wicked. I believe God is sovereign over something as sacred as the life of a Christian. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So don't you be condemned that you didn't do enough, you didn't pray enough, you didn't fast, whatever. God is in control and he loves you. And tomorrow, as we bring this broadcast to a close, we're going to be looking at another benefit of afflictions, and I'll share with you scriptures on that. Thank you so much for joining me. I love you. I pray and fast for my UCM partners, my radio family also, that we can be all, and you can be, all that God wants you to be. I love you. Thank you for your prayers, and do write, share your prayer requests. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.